Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are celebrating National Lutheran Schools Week this week, and good to get to hear from all of our schools around the country and actually around the world. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University Wisconsin, for supporting this program. To find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin, go to our website, kfuo.org, and look for the CUW logo in the sponsor section there. Today, we're going to take some time to talk with some of the staff from the International Center here and in LCMS School Ministry. Joining us in studio today, Terry Schmidt, Director of Schools for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Andy.
And also joining us in studio, Rebecca Schmidt, and she goes by Becky around here, Associate Director of Schools for the LCMS. Good morning, Becky.
Good morning.
And Matt Bergholt, Coordinator of Online Support and Services for LCMS School Ministry. Matt, welcome back to Faith and Family.
Good morning.
Well, let's talk about Lutheran schools. This is a strong arm of ministry in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod with a lot of history, and we'll talk a little bit about that history. Let's start with the theme for National Lutheran Schools Week this week. Terry, let's talk about the theme. What is the theme this year for National Lutheran Schools Week?
Standing in Christ, serving others.
Where did that theme come from?
That theme came out of the threefold purpose of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod: witness, mercy, and life together. Last year, we talked about witness in our schools. Mm-hmm. This year, we're talking about mercy, and next year will be life together. We believe that Lutheran schools are amazing places for the accomplishment of all three of the aspects of the three areas of purpose for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. This year, we're especially honing in on the mercy component of that threefold purpose. Obviously, by demonstrating mercy and compassion, our schools work with, our school teachers work with the students to equip them with opportunities and responses when problems, disasters, issues occur in their lives. We equip students and school families to cling to the cross of Jesus in the midst of all circumstances. We provide targeted support for students and families who are in need. And then we also teach students about Christian service and provide venues in the community and throughout the world for sharing God's love, grace, and mercy with those who need it.
And it seems to me through those experiences, through those opportunities to serve in their community as students, it really shapes them for a culture and a worldview for a lifetime of service.
Changes the hearts of many of our students who are involved. When they have the opportunity to go to that nursing home or to support that overseas mission opportunity, or when they have the opportunity to share love, mercy, and kindness to someone who is being a bit teased or bullied on the playground, they grow in a heart for service, and ultimately, in response to God's love for them, that's what we're attempting to do.
Anybody else have anything else you want to add to the conversation about the theme for this year? Mercy. And so next year we'll be talking about life together.
Life together. What a great thing for Lutheran schools. It's where it does come together.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about let's talk about the uniqueness of Lutheran schools. Becky, what is unique about Lutheran schools when we look at the landscape of education here in the United States and, well, even around the world? What's unique about Lutheran schools?
Well, certainly the size of our school system. We are the second largest parochial system serving children and families. And in addition to that, we serve children, infant and toddlers, elementary age. We serve middle school, high school, and also college age through graduate school and doctoral programs.
So did you say the second largest?
Second largest.
Wow. That in the United States.
Yes.
That's pretty impressive. So we must have a long history then to have a school system this large. Before the program, we were talking a little bit about the history of Lutheran schools. What does it take to have a system this large? Tell us about some of the history and what's led up to having the second largest parochial school system.
Well, certainly it's a deeply held value that Christian education is critical to the development of children mm-hmm. and our future leaders. In 1847, we had 12 congregations who were organized in the Missouri Synod and with 14 elementary schools. And from that mission, we have grown to over 2,255 schools today.
Before our program today, you were telling us a little bit about a particular teacher and the history there. Can you share that story with us?
I can. And I'm actually thinking about one of our schools that was that were established in 1848. And this is Emmanuel Lutheran in St. Charles, just up the street. And in 1939, Emmanuel was celebrating the 50th teaching anniversary of their first grade teacher, Miss Bertha Hartel. And she had served her entire 50 years in grade one. And I think as I was looking back through the archives and at this bulletin, it stood out of the picture of the children. And in that era, many of the pictures show children who weren't smiling, and it was such a somber adventure, except for Miss Hertel, who had this beautiful smile and was clearly exuded this joy in ministry. The other interesting part about the ministry at that time was a commentary that was included by the Board of Education, and they were talking about kind of the state of education at that point, and there was some discussion about whether families could afford the 35 cents per month for the tuition, and that some families were having difficulty contributing their cord of firewood. And what struck me as very intriguing is that we still have discussions about tuition and affordability and providing Christian education. And it's no longer in dollars and cents, but in millions of dollars for some of our schools. Mm-hmm. Similar discussion, budgets are still challenging, but the mission is the same. And that mission to seek and save the lost, to create disciples that will in turn disciple that future generation of Christian leaders, remains the same.
So the cost of education certainly has been one of those things that has changed over time. 35 cents per month for a family to contribute to their child's education. And you said a cord of firewood as well. Now, I don't know if there are many schools today that still would ask for firewood. There might be some. I don't know if we have any remaining that ask for firewood in order to keep things burning, but that's interesting. 35 cents a month. So certainly the cost of education has changed. There are some other things that have changed over time when it comes to Christian education. One of those is technology. And Matt, let's talk about technology. How has technology in the classroom changed over time? And how is technology used in LCMS classrooms today?
That's a good question. There's been a lot of changes. I mean, if you walk into any of your classrooms today, it'll look drastically different than even 5 or 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And certainly different than 1849.
Most certainly, right. From blackboards to whiteboards to smart boards, interactive whiteboards, et cetera. And a lot of the changes nowadays are moving into that realm of mobile devices, personal devices as well, that argument whether or not to bring mm-hmm. Individual devices into the classroom. But all of it kind of still continues to go towards that same idea of connecting to those around you. And especially now with all the different social media aspects and that interconnectedness that our schools mm-hmm. have through the technology, it really continues to bring them closer together, both with those around them geographically and not. Throughout the world.
So, for example, with a smart board, as you said, we've gone from blackboards to whiteboards or dry erase boards now to smart boards, which kind of connects a typical dry erase board in a classroom to the digital technology as well, so that information can be stored or shared with another classroom on the other side of the world, or stored and archived for later use. The technology there allows them to do all kinds of different things that a typical dry erase board or a chalkboard couldn't have done years ago. so that it can be used, as you pointed out, in the whole classroom, connecting the whole classroom to one system, or now using personal devices, whether students are using laptops or iPads and tablets and things like that in the classroom to make, you know, whether it's they're interacting in the classroom using those devices or interacting with other people on the other side of the world. That's fascinating to see how that has changed. Why is it important for our classrooms to use this kind of technology today?
That's a great question. I actually came from a technology conference this last week, and that was one of the big points of discussion is, you know, what is the role of technology in the classroom? Why should it be here? And what are some of those arguments? And one of the biggest things that came out of the discussions was that it is the world in which our students are living. For them, it's a non-negotiable. It's something that they've grown up with, they live with, they don't even question. And it's we need to be educating them in what they know as well and in their world. So that's one of the big arguments in terms of why it should be there, why they need to learn it, but also why a school should be using it. I heard the argument once that, you know, we're asking our kids to, you know, turn off their cell phones and whatnot as they enter the classroom, and we're taking away the biggest resource that they have, that they know, that they've used constantly. So there's that.
And it's something that type of technology is something that you know, this next generation is practically, it's almost a part of their identity in a sense.
It really is.
I recently came across some research of college students who, maybe you came across this too, college students who took a test without their, or they came into the classroom without their iPhone or their phone or something like that, and they scored like worse on a test.
Yeah, they were anxious because they were thinking about it. Yeah.
Right. Their anxiety went much higher because they didn't have their device with them,
right,
as opposed to those that had their technology with them. Isn't it crazy how it's really kind of become a part of our identity in this world, this high-tech world. So technology certainly is important in a classroom because we want our students to be equipped to interact and to serve in this world and to be able to, in a sense, to be on the same level as everybody else in this world when it comes to technology and being competent with those skills when it comes to technology and communication. What about other challenges? Let's talk about other challenges that schools face. You know, we talked about being able to, you know, make sure that things are funded appropriately, and the ever ongoing question or challenge that schools face: parents not always being able to contribute the amount that's necessary, but having to find more creative ways to cover the expenses of school. Are there other challenges that our schools face today, Terry? You're nodding your head. What are some of the challenges that Lutheran schools face today?
Probably the most significant challenge that we're facing in the next 5 years is to replace an aging force of school leaders who are rapidly approaching retirement. Many of the baby boomers are going to retire in the next 5 years. In fact, we believe that as many as 40% of our school administrators will be entering into retirement within the next 5 years. That leads to a leadership crisis for our schools. We're attempting to address that through school leadership development, a process of intentional identification and training. In fact, many of the schools that we have in the United States today are served by school leadership development SLED participants who were prepared and equipped and are now serving in Lutheran schools. But it will be a challenge to fill those spots as those spots occur, and especially in our smaller schools. 58% of our schools in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod have less than 100 students. And those are going to be difficult to fill with administrators who have passion and love for that smaller rural ministry.
What are the types of things that new administrators and those future administrators are going to need to be equipped with? What are the
challenges? I'm
going to
turn that over to Becky because Becky is leading up the SLED process at this time.
Becky, what are the things that our new administrators and future administrators in Lutheran schools are going to need to be prepared to tackle the challenges, to address the challenges that they're faced with?
Well, certainly our administrators are going to need to be well-versed in change theory and to be able to look at what each school needs individually and begin to develop plans to gather those resources. And The good news is we have some very strong schools that are great models in our synod and are using technology to expand offerings within schools, mm-hmm. with flipped classrooms, with online education and virtual schools, and these resources are available for the small school as well. And in addition to that, we want to look at and know that we must embrace many forms of education in terms of our urban schools. We've talked about our rural schools and our suburban schools, and we also have models that are thriving and working very successfully in our states that are offering choice programs and resources. In states that are not offering these kinds of resources, mm-hmm. that's going to take a different model. So we have to be flexible. We have to stay current. We have to access, work collaboratively, and to maximize the strengths that we have in our schools.
Flexibility is what I hear, that this next generation, after we get done having this really big retirement party for all those boomers that Terry mentioned are going to be retiring. Did you say it was about 40%?
We believe that 40% of our administrators will retire in the next 5 years.
That's if we let them retire.
It's an amazing thing. That is going to be a challenge for us to work. An additional challenge for us, of course, is to really enhance the Lutheran ethos that's mm-hmm. available in our school. Being truly distinctively Lutheran, being staffed by Lutheran teachers and administrators mm-hmm. is a big challenge because we are having fewer and fewer church work candidates that are emerging from the Concordia system at this time. So colloquy is going to have to improve. We're going to have to continue to hire Lutheran people and colloquize them. And we're also going to have to really recruit mm-hmm. the next generation of Lutheran school teachers.
You mentioned colloquy. Tell us, what is colloquy, or the colloquization process? What is that for those not familiar with colloquy?
Sure. For a Lutheran teacher, it is it's a cohort of classes that they take over the period of a year or two that are offered online. Most of those are theology classes related to what we teach and believe as Lutherans. It's actually Lutheranizing the secular teaching staff. And what's amazing about colloquy is they're actually doing this online while they're teaching. So they're applying mm-hmm. what they're learning while they're teaching. And some of our most Lutheran, distinctively Lutheran teachers are those teachers who have completed a colloquy while they were teaching and while they were trying out these things they were learning with the students. So, as they were learning it.
So what you're saying is it's important for us to have Lutheran teachers in Lutheran schools. And there are some schools that, because of a shortage of teachers or for some other reason, not all the teachers necessarily have already met the Lutheran teacher certification requirements. They may have gone through a state school or received certification to be a public school teacher and now have been engaged in a teaching opportunity at a Lutheran school. And while doing that, also in the process of acquiring that certification through colloquy.
Absolutely. It gives them the knowledge and understanding of Lutheran theology that makes it applicable to the classes where they serve. What we're first and foremost looking for is great teachers who love kids mm-hmm. and love teaching. And if we have Lutherans who are great teachers and love kids and love teaching, and we can help them to understand the theological basis for what we're doing, we've got a great teacher then to serve our students.
Sure. So if someone's teaching in another school setting, whether it's a public school or another parochial school, who is Lutheran and interested in becoming a Lutheran teacher, a Lutheran school teacher, what would be your advice to them?
My advice to them is to contact their education executive in their LCMS district or give us a call here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We'll be happy to direct them mm-hmm. on a pathway that can end up with them serving effectively in a Lutheran school.
And if you don't know who your education executive is in your district, you can talk to your pastor. Your pastor can
Absolutely.
Help you find out who that is in your district and
Yes.
help you make that connection mm-hmm. so you can find out more about becoming a Lutheran teacher.
The beauty of Lutheran teaching mm-hmm. is that you can share Christ with your children every day. And people who are passionate about their faith and serving in the public school don't have that option. So if they would like to come on over, We'd love to have them, and we're recruiting them right now.
I sense that. Well, so that's certainly one route to becoming a Lutheran teacher. Now, if someone is a high school student or going into college and thinking about Lutheran education, what route can they take to become a Lutheran teacher that way?
Obviously, the Concordia University system, mm-hmm. system provides a pathway to be called, to be commissioned as a professional Lutheran teacher. It's an interesting thing. Lots of our teachers that are coming out are out now and serving in our schools are children of Lutheran church work families. My own daughter's a teacher at Trinity in Delray, and when she graduated from high school, she said, "The only thing that I don't want to be is a teacher like you, Mom." And today she's a Lutheran teacher in Delray Beach, Florida, doing a fantastic job. So sometimes that heart and mind is changed and transferred, because what is inside of these kids when they leave Lutheran high school, Lutheran grade school, what is inside of them is Christ's presence himself, and he has a way of changing their hearts and their minds.
Absolutely. Well, we're grateful for the large force of teachers. I mean, it's just a strong army of teachers that it takes to educate these children, to partner with parents and to teach in Lutheran schools. And
over 17,000 Lutheran teachers.
Wow.
17,000. Now, not all of them are commissioned.
Right.
Not all of them are called teachers, but we have 17,000 teachers. Slightly more than 17,000 teachers serving in Lutheran schools.
Let's talk about where the Lutheran schools are. We have a lot of Lutheran schools. I think Becky mentioned earlier how many Lutheran schools we have. It was over 2,000 schools, to over 2,200 something. Where are these schools? Where would we find them? Who wants to address that? Where would we find those schools?
I can talk to that. They're in states all over the country, from mm-hmm. Alaska to Florida, California to Connecticut. We have large concentrations in Illinois, in Missouri. We have a large concentration in Southern California. And in Texas, we have a number of Lutheran schools. We have some really unique places where Lutheran schools are absolutely thriving. For example, Orange County in California, two schools with more than 600 students and another school with more than 400, feeding into two high schools that are our two largest Lutheran high schools in the United States. The area of Houston in Texas has two large Lutheran elementary schools, Salem and Tomball and Trinity in Klein, very different kinds of schools, but both feeding into Concordia High School in Tomball, Texas. Even here in St. Charles County, we have a number of thriving Lutheran schools that are moving forward and feeding into a Lutheran high school, St. Charles Lutheran High School. The demographics are good. Mm-hmm. They're growing areas, and the schools are taking advantage of the people who are moving in. All of the schools are growing, and Christ-centered education is flourishing in those areas.
What about outside the United States? Do we have partner schools outside of the U.S. as well?
We do, and they are top-rate international schools in Hong Kong, mm-hmm. in Hanoi, and also Shanghai.
Wow. So we do have some international schools even around the globe that are, as you said, top rate. And we get to hear from some of those in during his time. We're going to hear from our friends in
Shanghai.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to hear from
them. It's also interesting to note, Andy, that there are Lutheran schools all around the world. Mm-hmm. There are Lutheran schools in Africa, in South Africa. There are 100 Lutheran schools in the Hong Kong Synod. In China, mm-hmm. there are 100 Lutheran schools in Haiti. There are Lutheran schools all around the world where Jesus is being proclaimed to children and their families. So it's pretty amazing. We don't hear about it, but they're there, and they're serving in a very, very dedicated and effective way.
Well, thanks be to God for that and for Lutheran schools. And thank you all for your time today to share with us about Lutheran schools and for all that you're doing to support these schools. I know that you all work hard throughout the year to make sure that these schools have the appropriate support. Our guest today, Terry Schmidt, Director of Schools for the LCMS. Terry, thanks for being our guest here on
and
Faith and Family.
I enjoyed it very much, Andrew.
And Becky Schmidt, Associate Director of Schools, thanks for being our guest here on Faith and Family.
Thank you, Andy. It's my pleasure.
And Matt Bergholt, Coordinator of Online Support and Services for LCMS School Ministry. Thanks for being our guest.
You're welcome, Andy. Thanks.
Coming up in just a little bit, more of National Lutheran Schools Week right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Ashley Bridges turned down chemotherapy to treat her bone cancer because she was pregnant. After her daughter was born, tests revealed the cancer had spread throughout her body. Ashley's story isn't all that rare. During the past year, I've read a handful of similar cases. They demonstrate in breathtaking fashion the bond God creates between a baby and mom. God instills in both parents a very strong desire to provide for and protect their children. That's why abortion's often so devastating for parents who choose what they thought was the easiest way out of a crisis. I can't tell you how many mothers and fathers have told me they'd give anything, absolutely anything, to change their decision to abort the baby. Please join me in praying for these hurting parents.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We've got a moment to take. We're going to take a moment to thank some of our listeners, our partners who share with us. Mary Schmidt joining me in studio to do that today. Mary, who do we have to thank today?
We have a lot of people who have given during our 90 days. This is our last week for our 90 days of celebration for our KFUO's 90th birthday.
Woohoo!
90 years strong of spreading the gospel and broadcasting as far as we can, and with these donors' help, we're able to do that, and we continue to thank them. And we would like to thank this morning Georgia of Auburn, Pennsylvania, Vera of Perryville, Missouri, Dorothy of Grover, Missouri, Marion of Columbia, Missouri, Maria and Jack of York, Pennsylvania, Viola of Petoskey, Michigan, Vernon of Arnold, Missouri, Laverne of Mattoon, Illinois, Marsha and Lowell of Palmyra of Missouri, Doris of Greenville, Illinois, Clar and Paul of High Ridge, Missouri, Joseph of Flemington, New Jersey, who gave in loving memory of Adam Sheblin, Bernice and Roy of Vincennes, Indiana, Caroline of Farmington, Missouri, who gave in loving memory of James Schiffedecker, and Marilyn and John of St. Louis, Missouri.
Wow. This, I bet doing these is always like, hearing from our listeners is always like a geography test for you, trying to learn where all these places are.
We've had a lot. I think we've hit quite a few states in the U.S., so we're really glad that a lot of people are tuning in and listening and helping to support, spread the gospel. And if you would still like to give, there's still time during our 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
You can contact me, Mary Schmidt, at 314-996-1518. Or if you want to take the super easy route, you can go to kfuo.org and click on our Give Now button, and it'll take you through the steps. It'll be really easy.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Mary, for sharing all those. And that is evidence that that Worldwide KFUO is reaching all around the world. I mean, here is certainly in the United States, but all over the place. And it's in much thanks to God's work through these partners like this. Again, you can go to kfuo.org to find out more about giving. We've got more Faith and Family coming up in just a little bit. We're going to check in with our friends from Good Shepherd Lutheran School in Collinsville, Illinois. Stick around for more Faith and Family after this. Thanks, Mary.
Thank you, Andy.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson with an invitation for you to join me over the weekday noon hour for Moments of Assurance, your lunchtime spiritual recipe. You'll enjoy encouraging scriptures, a bit of Bible history and trivia, news items, humor, the Kids Corner, and more, all mixed in with faith-strengthening sacred music, a blend just right for your midday hour. So join me, won't you? That's Moments of Assurance over the weekday noontime hour here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Across the globe, thousands of children flee violence alone. Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service believes the best way to ensure they are safe and equipped for a brighter tomorrow is to place them with a foster family. Foster families come from diverse backgrounds, are single or married. The love and support they provide changes their lives and their children's lives. Please prayerfully consider giving the gift of family to an immigrant child. LIRS.org/fostercare to learn more.
Hi, I'm Pastor Ted Lesh, pastor at Chapel of the Cross Lutheran Church in North St. Louis County, inviting you to listen to our KFUO radio worship broadcasts on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Active worship, preaching, music, and singing are part of every one of our services at Chapel. Join us Sunday nights at 6. It's one more broadcast worship opportunity for you from your friends at Chapel of the Cross and KFUO Radio.
Hello from Michigan. We are Roger and Leela Thurow, members of Our Savior Lutheran Church, located in Scottville, just a few miles from the Lake Michigan shoreline. For the past 3 years, Leela and I have been day sponsors on KFUO in honor of our wedding anniversary. The voice of KFUO streams into our home, bringing the blessings of programs like Law and Gospel, Thy Strong Word, Book Talk, Moments of Assurance, and many more. If the messenger of good news has blessed you, we would like to encourage you to consider becoming a KFUO day sponsor. This opportunity to be a KFUO day sponsor reminds me of the words of a great hymn. If you cannot speak like angels, if you cannot preach like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus, you can say he died for all.
This is Mary Schmidt. To be a day sponsor, call me 314-996-1518.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is fun celebrating National Lutheran Schools Week here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod International Center. And around the world, our Lutheran schools are celebrating the gift that God has given us in Lutheran education. So joining me in studio today, we have a number of people to help us with that celebration. We have some students and faculty from Good Shepherd Lutheran School in Collinsville, Illinois. Joining us in studio today, we have Colleen. Good morning, Colleen.
Good morning.
Colleen, what grade are you in?
I'm in seventh grade.
Seventh grader at Good Shepherd Lutheran School in Collinsville. Now, have you been a student there most of your life?
No, I just started this year.
Just this year? Wonderful. Well, I look forward to hearing about your experience there as a student. We'll talk about it in just a little bit. Returning to Faith and Family, we have Jared from Good Shepherd Lutheran School in Collinsville. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning.
Good to have you in studio today. Your voice is a little deeper this year.
Yes.
What grade are you in this year, Jared?
Eighth grade.
Eighth grade. So you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. This is your last year then, I guess, huh?
Yes, it is.
All right. Well, good to have you back in studio, returning from Faith and Family last year. Good to have you back, and we'll talk more about your experience at Good Shepherd. We also have Hannah joining us this morning. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning.
Hannah, what grade are you in?
Sixth
grade. So we have sixth, seventh, and eighth grade represented here this morning. Hannah, it's good to have you here on Faith and Family today.
Thank you.
Also joining us in studio this morning, Mr. Zachary Stegman, and serves as the music director for Good Shepherd Children's Music at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School. Good to have you back in studio. Mr. Stegman, good to have you here.
Thank you for having us again.
It's good to get to celebrate this week with you all. Thank you for coming over and sharing some music with us in chapel. I was able to sneak out of the studio just for a little bit to come down and participate in chapel briefly this morning and hear the lovely arrangement of Children of the Heavenly Father. Very nice. That was a very nice presentation of a beautiful piece. I love the combination of piano, strings, and voice, and the multiple parts, too. I like the descant. You guys did a great job. Very talented musicians you have here.
Thank you.
Well, let's talk about Good Shepherd Lutheran School. Let's talk about how did you come to Good Shepherd Lutheran School? Now, Colleen, you said this is your first year at Good Shepherd Lutheran School.
Yes.
Tell us, why did your family choose? What made this led up to this path for you to become a student at Good Shepherd Lutheran School in Collinsville, Illinois?
Well, it has a really good Christian environment, and it has a great music program.
Two winning points right there. We don't need to say anything else then, right? A wonderful Christian environment and a great music program. Well, glad that that those were a draw for you. Have you enjoyed the music and the Christian environment there this year? So halfway through your school year now and planning hopefully get to do eighth grade there as well.
Yes.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Now, Jared, let's talk about this. And I'm sure we talked about this last year, too. How long have you been a student at Good Shepherd?
Oh, let's see. About nine years.
Nine years. Oh, yeah. So you started there in kindergarten or
preschool?
Preschool. Yes. Wonderful. Well. So what was the draw for you? Why did your family choose Good Shepherd Lutheran School for you?
I would have to agree with Colleen. There's a very good education that we received there that is focused on Jesus Christ as our Savior, and there's also a good music program as well.
Wonderful. Mr. Stegman is just beaming. Now I know why these students get to be in here today. Who chose these students to come talk about the music program? Hannah, how long have you been a student at Good Shepherd?
I think I've been a Good Shepherd student for 7 years.
Wonderful. And so why did your family choose Good Shepherd Lutheran School for you?
Well, I really think that my parents wanted a good Christian education for me.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted me to learn about God while I'm at school.
Wonderful. And it sounds like you're doing that. The music that you presented today very much so was focused on that. Now, Mr. Stegman, I know we've talked about this before too, but what led up to your vocation as an educator? Why Lutheran education and why specifically music?
Well, my parents sent me to a Lutheran school also when I was growing up, and that was a great blessing for me. And I had a lot of great influences along the way, the teachers that I had, especially my music teacher, and I just hoped to follow in his footsteps and be able to share this with kids today also.
Excellent. So let's talk about what you all enjoy studying. Now, I know everybody here enjoys music, obviously, so that's certainly one of, I'm sure, your favorite parts of your education at Good Shepherd Lutheran School. What are some of your other favorite subjects? Hannah, what do you enjoy studying as a student at Good Shepherd?
Well, I do enjoy art because I like to draw a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I also like...
So you enjoy art?
Yeah.
Who's your art teacher?
Mr. Krieger.
Wonderful. All right. Jared, what are some of your favorite subjects? We know you love music, and you can talk about that, too.
Okay.
What do you enjoy? What are your favorite subjects at Good Shepherd?
I like all of the subjects, but my favorite would have to be history and science.
History and science. Yeah. What do you love about who are your teachers for those classes?
For history is Mr. Voss, and for science is Mr. Rinker.
What do you like about history and science?
I enjoy learning about our past, mm-hmm. our country's past, and the world's past, and I like science.
Are you an avid reader? Do you like to read?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, Colleen, what is your favorite subject at Good Shepherd?
My favorite is probably reading class.
Reading, yeah. What types of books do you like to read?
I like to read classic books.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, very good. And who's your reading instructor?
Mr. Winters.
Uh-huh. Very good. Well, so you all are, it sounds like, students who love learning and love being students at Good Shepherd. When do you learn about Jesus? When do you learn about God and his love for you in your day? What part of the day or parts of the day do you learn about Jesus in your day at Good Shepherd Lutheran School? Colleen?
I think we do pretty much all the time.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
All the time. What are some examples of when you're learning about Jesus or when you're learning about God and his love for you, God's word?
In catechism class, uh-huh. we talk a lot about that. And then just in subjects throughout the day, mm-hmm. there'll be times where we talk about it and explain stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
Hannah, do you have any examples of when you hear God's word or you learn about God and his love for you in your day at Good Shepherd?
I would say pretty much all the subjects we talk about God, but in religion class, we pretty much every time we do a lesson, my teacher tells us that God loves us and he cares about us and he sent his son for us.
Amen. Jared, when do you hear about Jesus, or do you have any examples of when you learn about Jesus?
Usually in a catechism mainly, but yeah. It's also throughout the day various times.
And who is your instructor for catechism?
We have, four instructors for catechism.
Four instructors?
Yes.
Who are those instructors?
Pastor Walther, Pastor Adel, or DCE, Mr. Westfall, and Mr. Mueller, Vicar Mueller.
Wow. So you have a lot of instructors for catechism.
Yes.
Well, and it sounds like you enjoy being students of the catechism as well. Now, Mr. Stegman, you get to direct music for Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School for Children. And when you're selecting music, when you're choosing music to teach the children, what are some of the things you're looking for in music, and what helps you make those selections?
Well, we're always looking for music that points to Christ and the work that he did for us. Our job, we think, as the choir is sing our faith and sing the message of forgiveness through Christ to our neighbors, whether that be the other kids when we're in chapel services, the congregation when we're in the church services, or just to each other in choir rehearsal. And it also kind of helps us eagerly hear and learn God's word ourselves. So I'm always looking for music that, you know, points to Christ and his work on the cross for us. And, a lot of our Christmas music, even at the Christmas concert, you know, it's always leading up to the cross and the work of salvation that he did for us. So
wonderful. Now, all of you are musicians being here today. Are there some favorite pieces that you've enjoyed presenting or preparing and singing? Are there any favorite songs or any favorite pieces that you've enjoyed that have really stood out for you in your time at Good Shepherd? Jared?
I enjoy all of them. Mr. Stegman makes it very fun to learn music and to perform music.
How does a typical rehearsal go down? What's a rehearsal like with Mr. Stegman?
We arrive and we receive music and we go through the music and rehearse it and do the different parts with the different people.
Doesn't sound like you have any fun, though.
It is fun. He makes it fun.
Anybody else have a favorite piece that you've sung in the last year that you really liked? None? Nobody has a favorite piece? A specific selection? All right. Well, let's talk about what do you think? Jared, being an eighth grader, starting to think about high school and plans down the road, do you have any idea what you might like to do after you're done with school? Any ideas?
I would like to definitely go to college and either become an engineer or go to seminary and become a pastor.
Well, wonderful. Colleen, any ideas what you might like to do after high school?
I would like to go to college and either become a speech and language pathologist or an architect.
Wow. Both a lot of education for both of those programs, but wonderful careers and vocations. Hannah, how about you? What are you thinking?
I'm not sure about what I'm going to do after high school yet, but I know that God will lead me to do what he wants.
Good answer.
I agree.
Good answer. Mr. Stegman, what do you want to do after high school? Oh, that's right. You're already doing it. Living your life's dream, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this is Good Shepherd's a great place to be. And I'm very thankful for getting to work with all of the kids and all the choirs and band and everything. So,
now, in addition to choirs, you mentioned band. You get to lead bands as well?
Yes. At Good Shepherd, we start a band in fifth grade, and it's optional, but we have quite a few kids, and then we have a larger sixth through eighth grade band. We also have a string program. Some of our kids get to take lessons at SIU Edwardsville in the Suzuki program, some of our kids aren't able to do that, so we do have an instructor that comes in during the day and does some string lessons also, and we try to use those in church services and in chapel as much as we can, too.
Wonderful. Do any of you participate in any of the other programs or mostly just choir?
I do band, and I also go to the Suzuki in Edwardsville.
Wow. So you do all of those.
Yes, I do band as well and the Suzuki.
Yeah? Well, Colleen, what instrument do you play?
I play the violin and the flute.
Wow. Jared?
The violin and the French horn.
Hannah, do you play any instruments yet?
I do. I play French horn and I take piano lessons.
Wow. You have a very talented group. We should have brought all the instruments in and we could have had a concert in here today.
Yeah, we do offer piano lessons during the day. We have two teachers that come in and do piano lessons, so all three of these guys, I think, get to get their piano lesson in during the day also. So very well-rounded musicians here, you know, plus choir. So.
Now I understand what you were saying earlier when you all said that you had that Good Shepherd Lutheran School has a great music program. That was one of the reasons that drew you there. Who are the people that are, you mentioned several teachers, who are the people that help you learn throughout the day? Obviously teachers, you have multiple teachers. Do you get to interact with other grades or do parents come in and serve in your class in any way? Are there other people who help with your education at Good Shepherd? Jared, you look like you're pondering it. Do you get to interact with other grades?
Yes, we usually get to interact with the kindergartners sometimes in eighth grade. Being in eighth grade, we like to help them out. For Christmas, we decorated cookies with them. They seem to enjoy that.
Very good. So you get to interact with younger students.
Yes.
You decorated Christmas cookies. Anything else you've had the opportunity to do with younger students?
Yeah, we have faith families. And all the kids in the school, they get into faith families.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all these different grades and all the like different kids and different grades and stuff.
So how many are in your faith family at Good Shepherd? What did you say?
15, 20.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's a pretty big group of students from all grades then. Wow. So what does each person have a different role? What do you do in the faith families?
Well, we go to chapel together in our faith families. And then once a month we get together and we have like a devotion and we talk about our faith.
Very good. So you go to chapel together. So the little kids get to sit with the big kids. Oh, that's probably a big deal for them, huh? For the little kids.
Yeah.
It's probably a big deal for the big kids too, huh? Because you get to set an example as well, right? Very good. I see all of your friends out in the lobby looking in the studio here too. We could give a shout out to all of them in the lobby who are waiting for to get to tour the building and hang out with you later on after the program today. Who are the teachers? You mentioned some teachers earlier. Who are the teachers that you want to give shout outs today, or other people that you want to give a shout out to today? Anybody? Hannah?
I'd like to give a shout out to Mr. Krieger and Mrs. Mosky, who are the sixth grade homeroom teachers.
Very good.
I would like to give a shout out to all the junior high teachers and Mr. Stegman and my family and my peers. Some of which are out in the hallway.
Some standing literally 3 feet from you on the other side of the glass there waiting. Colleen, anybody you want to say hi to today or give a shout out to?
My mom and my dad.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Now, dad's here today, isn't he?
Yep.
Yeah? Yeah, he was trying to give you some notes earlier.
Yep.
Well, it sounds like you've had a good experience at Good Shepherd Lutheran School. For your friends, thinking now for a moment, for your friends who don't go to Good Shepherd Lutheran School, maybe don't go to a Lutheran school, what do you think is the difference between your experience at Good Shepherd Lutheran School and your friends who go to other schools? Is there a difference between what they experience in their school and what you experience in yours, Colleen?
Yes, because they don't get to talk about their faith openly.
Mm-hmm. That makes a difference, it sounds like, in your day.
Yes.
Having that freedom and a safe environment where you can talk about your faith openly. Anything else that's different? How many students are in your class, say, in seventh grade? How many students are in your class? Any idea?
Oh, I'd say about 40 in seventh grade.
40? Like, around 40?
Yeah.
And in eighth grade, similar?
Similar, yes.
Yeah? A sixth grade, similar?
Probably like 30-something.
Okay. So not super big, like you go to a high school where there are 200 in or even a middle school where you go to a class and there are 200 or more in a class. So do you know most of the people in your school? You know a lot of people. You probably have a lot of friends there.
Yes.
Yeah. Mr. Stegman, do you have a lot of friends there?
Yeah, we get along.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you all get along. Let's talk about the people that support your education at Good Shepherd Lutheran School. Earlier, we talked about why your family chose Good Shepherd Lutheran School for you today. And so your family, I'm sure, is their key in you being a student at Good Shepherd Lutheran School. Are there other people who have contributed, who have encouraged you to be a good student at Good Shepherd? Who are the people that support your education there at Good Shepherd? Are there other people that support in your community? Mr. Stegman?
Yeah, our congregation is very supportive. You know, there's different members of the congregation that, you know, sometimes we see them, sometimes we don't, but they, you know, do a lot of things, helping around the building and also, you know, even coming in to help with like peer tutoring type. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess it would be peers, but, you know, reading programs and things like that.
Sure.
You know, we have different things through the year, the school auction. There's a lot of people, members or non-members, that are doing a lot of work to, you know, to help the Christian education take place during the day. So
a lot of people, and it sounds like this is truly a ministry of the congregation, that mm-hmm. this is a wonderful partnership and serves the community well with all the Christian education that happens there during the day. Thinking about what you're looking forward to now, Jared. I know this is eighth grade for you. Do you know where you're going to high school next year?
I'm going to Edwardsville High School.
Edwardsville High School.
Illinois, yeah.
Very good. Very good. So, what do you think that transition is going to be like going now from Good Shepherd to a public high school? Do you think that your education at Good Shepherd has prepared you for your life as a high school student in a public high school?
Definitely. Yes. Yeah.
Are you ready to step into this public school environment? What do you think will be different for you?
The social aspect will be different, as mm-hmm. There aren't many friends that are going there. But I'm sure I'll make new friends and be able to try to be a witness to them through my actions.
Absolutely. Well, I commend you and for having such a positive outlook, and that you're looking forward to going there and making new friends and being a witness for Christ in that school. Well, we have just a little bit of time left as we wrap up today. I want to thank you all for being my guest, sharing with us about your experience at Good Shepherd Lutheran School. Any events or anything coming up, Mr. Stegman, that you want to share with us, or how we can find out more?
Sure. The first step would be to go to our website, gslcs.org, gslcs.org, and there's all kinds of, you know, virtual tour and some interviews and things like that on the website there. It tells you how to get a tour in person if you'd like that. We are building a brand new early childhood center. Our current facility is sort of down the street, so now we will be able to have you know, all of the preschool, daycare, and all of that, you know, all the early childhood on the same campus as the older brothers and sisters, and we've been looking forward to that for a long time, so that's kind of exciting to have all the construction trucks going through and everything. Let's see, can you guys think of anything else that we're looking forward to here pretty soon?
Do you have a spring concert coming up anytime?
Yeah, we'll have in May, usually second Tuesday in May, we'll have our spring concert. Let's see. A Lutheran High School is coming from Michigan to do a concert for us in March. We have our solo and ensemble contest coming up, so these guys will probably do, you know, string solos, instrumental solos, piano solos, and things like that. So, yeah, lots
wonderful,
of fun things.
Jared, you look like you're looking forward to that, the ensemble
yes.
The solos and ensembles.
Yes.
Cool. What do you know? What are you preparing for that?
I'm not quite sure yet. I'll think of something.
Time to get to work. Colleen, are you going to present in the solo and ensembles performance?
Yes. Good. I don't know what I'm doing. But.
Hannah, will you be involved in that?
Yes, I will probably be playing piano, but the rest I don't really know about.
Very good. Well, thank you all for being my guest today. It has been a pleasure and a privilege to get to spend some time with you in studio. And so I want to say thank you, Colleen, for being my guest here today.
You're welcome.
Jared, thanks for being my guest on Faith
thanks
and Family.
For having me.
And Hannah, thanks for being here today. And Mr. Zachary Stegman, Children's Music Director at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Collinsville, Illinois. Thanks for being my guest on Faith and Family. Glad to have you here today.
Thank you for having us. It's been a fun day so far.
You bet. And I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your tour and time here at the International Center. Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word here on Worldwide KFUO. You can find out more about the programs here on Worldwide KFUO. Go to our website, kfuo.org, and look for the program listing. You can look for the program schedule there. You can also find archives of programs, including today's program, which was recorded. So you'll be able to find that coming up very soon probably by the end of the day. You should be able to find that under Faith and Family in the archives section on our website, so you guys can go share that with your friends, post it on Facebook, all those places, and share it with everybody. Thanks so much for listening today, and stick around for Thy Strong Word up next.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.